follow along as I read. Does not wisdom call, and discernment give forth her voice? At the top of the heights upon the way, where the pathways meet, she takes her stand. Beside the gates at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, she makes a shout. To you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. O simple ones, understand prudence, and O fools, understand a heart of wisdom. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal upright things. For my mouth will utter truth, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straightforward to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my discipline and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest fine gold. For wisdom is better than pearls, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. There once was a lady. She was the fairest in all the land of Tara. And she was a noble woman who was beautiful to look upon. And she served as a representative of the high king. And in the land of Tara, there were men who were self-serving. They gave no mind to the high king at all and lived for themselves. But this noble woman was zealous for the high king. And she cried out before the commoners to listen to what she had to say. Her message was to call the people of the city to become good knights of the high king. And she cried at the highest point in the city. She cried at the crossroads. She cried even at the entrance to the gates of the city. And she promised all who turned aside to listen to her that they would receive great riches, riches no man could possibly conceive of. And yet day after day, she spent crying in the square. Very few men turned to listen to her, as if she was like a ghost, no one paying any mind to what she had to say. And I think this short analogy is a picture of our passage. To heed the call of Lady Wisdom by knowing and applying the word of God to our lives in a manner that fears the Lord. And so I'll break this passage into three acts. Into three acts like a play or like a great story taking place before us. Act one, I entitle The Bard's Address. Now the bard is a poet. He's a poet that recites great stories. And so in this passage, Solomon will serve as our bard, our storyteller. And he begins the great story of Lady Wisdom. And so Act 1 will be verses 1 to 3, the bard's address. And then in verses 4 to 10, it'll be Act 2, Lady Wisdom's call. And then finally, Act 3 is Lady Wisdom's blessing, and that'll be verse 11. So Act 1 is the bard's address, that's verses 1 to 3. Act 2 is Lady Wisdom's call, and that's in verses 4 to 10. And then Act 3 is Lady Wisdom's blessing, and that's verse 11. So in verse 1, it says this, does not wisdom call, and discernment give forth her voice? In verse 1, Solomon begins with a rhetorical question, a question where the listener already knows the answer. He asks his son, does not wisdom call? Doesn't wisdom call? And doesn't discernment give forth her voice? Does not discernment give forth her voice? And these questions are meant to extract a resounding yes in the mind of Solomon's son. By asking this two-part question, Solomon is engaging the conscience of his son. He knows that his son already hears the call of wisdom. But if he knows his son hears the call of wisdom, then why does Solomon seek the mental affirmation of his son by asking, does not wisdom call? All men hear the call of wisdom. But they choose to suppress that call by living sinfully. And the call of wisdom is the call to live rightly before God, which begins with the fear of the Lord. And this call to live rightly before God is proclaimed to all men throughout creation. In Romans 1:18 to 21, it says, all men know that there is a God that they are accountable to, a God that they must live rightly before. but they suppress their knowledge of God in unrighteousness. So Solomon, through this cunning two-part question, causes his son to mentally affirm that he has heard the call to live rightly before God. And with that knowledge, he is without excuse. Now, discernment, or understanding, as some of your translations might read, is used interchangeably here with the word wisdom. And this wisdom, this discernment, is evident to all. Throughout this passage, Solomon personifies wisdom, an attribute of God, as a lady. And he refers to her as that lady. And discernment is just another one of her names. So it says, so in the very beginning of this passage, discernment is just another one of the names in reference to Lady Wisdom. And we learn here that Lady Wisdom is vocal. She calls out. She makes herself heard. And not only does she call out, but she gives forth her voice. She increases the volume of her message so much so that she is losing her voice. She not only calls out, but she gives forth her voice. And if you look at verse 2, she's not only visible, she's not only vocal, but she's visible. It says in verse 2, at the top of the heights upon the way, where the pathways meet, she takes her stand. She's number one, at the highest point in the city, on Main Street. And number two, she's at the crossroad. Verse 2 begins with the top of the heights upon the way. And in Proverbs 9:3, this place is clarified. We learn that this place, that it is in the city. And it's not just in the city, but it's at the highest point in the city on Main Street. It's on the busiest street. It's the top of the heights upon the way. And the commentator Bruce Waltke thinks that this high point on Main Street might be in reference to something like the Loser's Stone in Jerusalem. It's also called the Stone of Claims. And this was a public lost and found platform during the era of the Second Temple. Now, this was a temple that was built after Cyrus the Great freed the Jews to return back to Jerusalem. Solomon was the one that built the first temple. But maybe this Stone of Claims was reconstructed after a previous one during the era of the first temple. So as I mentioned, this place was the lost and found of the city. In the Talmud, it's a book of teachings from Jewish rabbis, from Jewish teachers. It says that if someone lost an article of theirs, they would go to the stone to see if it had been found. And if someone found an article of someone else's, they would go to that stone and they would proclaim to everyone what had been found. For example, let's say one of you guys lost a hammer, and another person found that hammer. And the person that found that hammer would then walk to the top of the stone, and he would cry aloud, "I have a hammer. Who lost their hammer?" At which point, the person who lost their hammer would hear that person crying out, realize that he lost a hammer, and he would say, "Okay, that's my hammer." He would go to the stone to retrieve what was his, to retrieve what he had lost. And interestingly, in 2015, according to the Jerusalem Post, archaeologists discovered a 2,000-year-old pyramid staircase constructed of large ashlar stones. It was on an ancient street in the city of David. It was adjacent, it was next to the destroyed Second Temple. And this was on the street from the Pool of Siloam, which you may remember in Scripture, to the Temple Mount. And this was a public podium. And this public podium may have actually been the Stone of Claims, the Loser's Stone. And it's interesting that Lady Wisdom is crying aloud from a platform like this, calling out to who? To those who are lost, who are without understanding, to find wisdom. Next in verse 2, it says that Lady Wisdom takes her stand where pathways meet. She's standing at a crossroads where two roads meet. Either the passersby will heed her call and turn aside to where she is standing, or they're going to continue on their foolish way. And not only is Lady Wisdom at the highest point in the city, on Main Street, and not only is she at the crossroad, but if you look in verse 3, she's beside the gates, at the opening to the city, at the entrance of the doors, and there she makes a shout. So in verse 3, Lady Wisdom is both vocal and visible. She cries out to the people, one, after they've entered the city, two, as they're entering the city, and three, before they've entered the city. And I want you to see how Solomon works from the inside of the city to the outside. In verse 3, she makes her shout beside the gates. Within the gates of the city, where the gates were located, according to Bruce Waltke, were benches and side chambers, where people would congregate to buy and sell, to settle disputes and to transact politics. In the book of Ruth, Boaz went to the gates within the city of Bethlehem to redeem Ruth. But since there was another man ahead of Boaz who had the right to redeem her and the land of her deceased father-in-law, Elimelech, Boaz had to settle the matter with the man. But why does Lady Wisdom shout beside the gates? She does so to call those conducting and settling personal, business, and political matters to heed what she has to say. Her wisdom is applicable to all matters of life. And she is out to reach all people. Those who have just entered the city, she is beside the gates that are within the city. Those who are entering the city, she's at the opening to the city. And even those who have not yet entered the city, she's at the entrance of the doors. And there we find Lady Wisdom, and she is shouting. But who is she shouting to? And next we turn to Act 2, which is Lady Wisdom's call. In verse 4, to you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of men. In verse 4, Lady Wisdom supplies us with the answer of who her target audience is. Solomon did not answer in verse 1. So if you look back in verse 1, this is what Solomon asks. Does not wisdom call? But who does wisdom call to? And in the second part of verse 1, Solomon asks, and does not discernment give forth her voice? But who does discernment, which is another name for Lady Wisdom, give her voice to? If you look in verse 4a, she calls to you, O men. And in verse 4b, she gives her voice to the sons of men, which are still men. And while Lady Wisdom's address is applicable to all of mankind, both men and women, she specifically addresses men to contrast herself with that of the adulterous woman in Proverbs chapter 7. And the adulteress is the one who seeks to lead men astray instead of guiding them onto the path of wisdom. And Lady Wisdom further specifies her address by crying out in verse number 5. O simple ones, understand prudence. No fools, understand a heart of wisdom. In this short verse, the main point of this passage, Proverbs 8:1 through 11, is communicated. And this is the main point, to know and to apply the word of God to your life. To know and apply the word of God to your life. Now, who are these simple ones? Proverbs 1:4, Solomon uses the terms simple and use in reference to one another. He says, to give prudence to the simple, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. And Lady Wisdom is calling out to young men who are gullible. As Waltke explains, they are the mildest sort of fools, for they are malleable, or capable of being shaped, and improved by the educational process, and still have the hope of joining the company of the wise. And while these young men are gullible, they're not morally innocent. Their slate is not clean. They're disposed to follow woman folly. And if they do not heed the cries of Lady Wisdom, they will suffer the consequences for their waywardness, which is ultimately death. And in their simple-mindedness, Lady Wisdom commands that they understand prudence. The Hebrew word for prudence is cunning, clever, shrewd. And in general, we associate those words with mischief, and we view them in a negative light. Yet in this instance, this word is to be viewed positively. Lady Wisdom commands the simple, the gullible, to understand, to know how to be cunning, clever, and shrewd. But what are they to be cunning in? What are they to be clever, shrewd? It's supposed to be in knowledge. In Proverbs 13:16a, it says, every prudent man acts with knowledge. And this knowledge to live rightly before God is revealed in his word, the Bible. So to understand prudence, the morally gullible must know how to shrewdly apply biblical knowledge in a manner that fears the Lord. And how does one shrewdly apply this knowledge? By doing that which God loves and hating that which God hates. as is found in Scripture. And after addressing the simple ones, Lady Wisdom turns her attention to fools. She says this, "O fools, understand a heart of wisdom." As Lady Wisdom's volume progresses in verse 1, from a call to giving forth her voice to losing her voice, her address progresses in verse 5 from calling the simple ones to calling the fools, from calling the morally gullible to calling the morally obtuse. And the Hebrew word for fool here is kassel. This fool, this kassel, according to a Proverbs commentator called Michael Fox, is or probably will become morally perverse by reason of his obtuseness. This fool is stubborn. He thinks he's right, and he does not stop to listen to the wisdom of others. And from this obtuse, unwillingness to learn mindset proceeds wickedness. And it makes sense. A man that is set in his ways will act in accordance with his nature. A man set in his ways will act in accordance with his nature. And what kind of nature does a man have? A sin nature. So a man, by reason of his unwillingness to listen, will act sinfully. Yet in spite of the fool's unwillingness to listen, Lady Wisdom still cries out. In fact, to this day, her metaphorical call rings throughout the air. But regardless of her volume, it's God, the Holy Spirit, who opens ears once deaf to the gospel to hear the call of wisdom, to fear the Lord, which brings about godly repentance. After addressing the fools, Lady Wisdom commands that they understand a heart of wisdom. These fools who are obtuse, who are set in their hearts to continue in wickedness, she tells to understand a heart of wisdom, to quite literally set their hearts on wisdom. The fools who were once set on wickedness are now set on wisdom. In verse 5, the verbs understand are not simply in reference to knowledge, but knowledge coupled with application. To understand prudence, to understand a heart of wisdom, is to know and apply prudence, to know and apply a heart of wisdom. In order to know and apply prudence and a heart of wisdom, one must know the word of God and apply it to his life. And verse 5 is the main point of this text. It's the main point of Proverbs 8, 1 through 11. To know and apply the Bible to your life in a manner that fears the Lord. To know and apply the Bible to your life in a manner that fears the Lord. And in verses 6 to 11, Lady Wisdom expounds on how to know and apply the Bible by offering three more commands. Listen, take discipline, and take knowledge. Listen, take discipline, and take knowledge. Listen found in verse 6, take discipline, and take knowledge in verse 10. Listen, for I will speak noble things, and the opening of my lips will reveal upright things. First command is to listen to the words of wisdom. And whenever I was younger, whenever my dad and I would have a talk about something I completely disagree with my dad on, my dad would say to me, "Son, you're not listening. Of course your ears are hearing me, but what I'm saying is not sticking." When Lady Wisdom commands you to listen to her, she's calling you to not only hear what she has to say, but to apply what she is saying. And how do you hear the voice of Lady Wisdom? Of course, Lady Wisdom is not a physical person. Solomon is personifying an attribute of God. And God in his wisdom has spoken to us how? He's spoken to us through his word. So where do we listen to Lady Wisdom? Where do we listen to his wisdom? Well, we listen through the word of God. We listen by reading and studying the word of God. We listen by hearing it read and preached. We listen by singing it in psalms and hymns. We listen to it by thinking on it through meditation and memorization. And when we hear the Bible through the means that I just listed, we must take what we have learned and we must apply that then to our lives. And why should we listen to the wisdom of the Bible? Well, in verses 6 to 9, Lady Wisdom supplies us with 8 reasons. 8 reasons. God's word is number 1, noble. Number 2, upright. Number 3, true. Number 4, good. Number 5, righteous. Number 6, pure. Number 7, straightforward. And number 8, right. Number 1, noble. Verse 6a, for I will speak noble things. Lady Wisdom's speech is kingly. It's fit for nobility. Her revealed knowledge is too wonderful for the mind of the fool, for the mind of the sinner. Her speech is of excellent things, of counsel and knowledge that only a regenerate mind can grasp. Only a mind that has been born again can grasp. Only with those with ears of the Holy Spirit, ears opened by the Holy Spirit, can hear her noble things. Essentially, the ears of the saints, true believers in Christ. Number 2, upright. Verse 6b, in the opening of my lips will reveal upright things. These upright things that Lady Wisdom's open lips will reveal is that which is righteous, just, and equitable. It's found in the bedrock passage upon which the whole book of Proverbs rests, Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. And in verse 3 of Proverbs 1, Solomon says, to receive discipline that leads to insight, righteousness, justice, and equity. And these three issues are matters concerned with uprightness, with keeping right order. Her lips speak of establishing right order, that's righteousness, restoring right order when disturbed, that's justice, and discerning that which is in right order from that which isn't, that's equity. So once again, establishing right order, that's righteousness, restoring right order when disturbed, that's justice, and discerning that which is in right order from that which isn't, equity. And it got the material from Bruce Waltke. Number 3, true. Verse 7a, for my mouth will utter truth. Unlike the lying tongue, which is an abomination to the Lord, Lady Wisdom speaks with the truth. You can trust a person that tells the truth. And we trust the word of God because God is truth, and he speaks that which is true. Number 4, good. Verse 7b, and wickedness is an abomination to my lips. Well, what's the opposite of wickedness? Goodness. Wicked speech seeks the harm of others instead of their good. And in Proverbs, when it talks about the wicked men, they, through their words, they try to convince others to engage in hateful acts of murder. It also talks about the adulteress who, through her flattering speech, leads men astray to their death. So the opposite of wickedness is good. Number 5, right. All the words of my mouth are in righteousness. That's verse 8a. Everything that Lady Wisdom speaks is spoken in righteousness. Righteousness is doing that which is right in the sight of God. And what is that which is right in the sight of God? Living in obedience to God's law. So the words of Lady Wisdom, the words of Lady Wisdom's mouth, speak the commands of God. Number 6, pure. Verse 8b, there's nothing twisted or crooked in them. The words of Lady Wisdom are not twisted, they're not perverted. They remain undefiled. They're pure. She does not take the truth and mangle it. When you listen to her, you are hearing the truth, not some twisted up version of it. Number 7, straightforward. Verse 9a, they're all straightforward to him who understands. Her words are straightforward to the one who takes to heart what she has to say. The person regenerated by the Holy Spirit, when he looks at Scripture, the wisdom of the Bible makes sense to him. At one point, it did not, but now he's been given new eyes to see, and it does. And finally, number 8, right. Verse 9b, and right to those who find knowledge. To those who find knowledge, those who have looked for and taken the words of Lady Wisdom to heart, her words are right. The believer understands how right, how good her words are, now that God has brought him to the place of finding and applying the words of wisdom to his life. It says in 2 Peter 1:3 that God's power, quote, has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness. The Bible that you hold in your hands has everything you need in order to live a good and godly life in the sight of God. The first command I expounded upon was listen. In verse 10, Lady Wisdom offers two more commands. Number 2, take my discipline. Verse 10a, take my discipline and not silver. The discipline of Lady Wisdom is correction. 2 Timothy 3:16, it says that Scripture is it profitable for correction. God uses his word to convict and bring us to a point of repentance. And if we do not heed the correction of the word of God, we will receive the due punishment that we deserve. In verse 10b, and knowledge rather than choices find gold. Take my knowledge rather than choices to find gold. It says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fearing God is vital to knowing and living for him. We must know and apply God's word to our lives. And if we do so, we merit much more than simply gold or silver. We merit the robes of righteousness given by God to those who repent, to those who turn from their sins and place their trust in Christ. Place their trust in him as their Lord and Savior. Finally, we turn to Act 3. Lady Wisdom's blessing, verse 11. For wisdom is better than pearls, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. The value of understanding the fear of the Lord cannot be overstated. Hey, you're fine. Okay. Yeah. Just finishing up verse 11. This is the blessing of Lady Wisdom. For wisdom is better than pearls, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. The value of understanding the fear of the Lord cannot be overstated. Is your life characterized by knowing and applying the word of God to your life in a manner that fears him? Or are you constantly pushing away the thought of God to live in a self-serving way? And so the questions that you must consider are this. Number one, who are you here for? And how does he want you to live? Are you here for yourself? Are you here to live for your own glory? Are you here for God? So are you going to know and apply his word to your life? Are you going to live in such a way that honors and glorifies him? Are you going to live in a manner that fears the Lord? Are you going to live in a self-pleasing, self-serving way? All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Proverbs. Thank you for Proverbs chapter 8, where we learn about Lady Wisdom. Father, Lady Wisdom, Solomon personifies your attribute of wisdom. She is out there crying in the streets. She's crying in the streets, and it's like no one is listening to her. Father, I pray that there are youth here that are not listening to the wisdom of your word, that are running in rebellion to you. I pray that you will convict them of their sins. I pray that they, Father, will see that they are headed to hell, that they will repent, that they will turn from them, and they will place their trust in Christ. And for those, Father, that are in Christ, for those of us that are believers, that know you, that know Christ as our Lord and Savior, we ask that we will take the wisdom of your word. We will see it, we will apply it, and we will love it, and we will grow more in godliness every day. And so, Father, we ask this all in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.